Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
What's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Hope you're well. Today I want to talk about exactly what this title says is probably one of the most reactive dogs I've worked with or in a long time. And I thought we got a couple good podcasts on deck for you guys. We got a couple veterinarians and PhD specialists and how to help dogs live longer. And those are on deck and in the works. But I wanted to talk to you guys about this dog that I worked with at my recent seminar at the Upstate Canine Academy. And if you guys haven't yet, the link is in the description where you can check out the full YouTube video. But this dog in particular was very unique because the owner had come in with a harness on the dog, a genaleader on the dog, and the dog was so reactive but then redirective at the same time. And so when she came into the room, the dog would immediately go into fight mode, pulling, reacting, lunging. As soon as the dog felt any type of restriction on the leash from the owner, he would then turn around and grab the leash inches from the owner's hands. And so that's something that I've seen before, but his precision on biting the leash was just precise. And so a lot of times we see dogs who are redirective, and what that comes from, guys, is a part of frustration. So a common thing that we see for leash reactive dogs, let's say, again, they see another dog, they see a person, depending on where the reactivity is coming from, they get so frustrated that they can't get to the thing, and then they turn around and grab the leash and basically take all that frustration. It's like if you've ever been really frustrated and you slam your laptop or, I don't know, kick a wall or whatever. I don't know. But you get really frustrated, right? Or you scream, you pull your hair out, whatever. That's kind of like what dogs do, is they will get to a point where they'll redirect. Some dogs will redirect so bad, they'll actually just grab whatever's around them. They don't care what it is. They'll grab a leg, they'll grab a foot, they'll grab another dog, which is common. But this particular dog was so precise about his redirection. And so as we work through this with the dog, it was in front of a seminar group, so lots of people. And the owner could, I posted a video on it on my Instagram. And I always find it, you know, interesting. I guess not necessarily interesting, but sometimes I'm not mindful about how other people think and how they may perceive information. And sometimes I frankly don't really care because it's none of my business. And then other times I should give context. So when I posted this video on my story of the owner, she basically put, picture this, head halty on the dog, which is like the loop around the dog's snout. And then so she had two leashes, and then she had a harness on the dog as well, like a genaleader harness. And so it was a mess. It was a chaos. And she knows this. That's why she came to me. So it's not talking ish about her, obviously. But the only thing that she could do when the dog reacted was to pull up on the dog's, on the halty, on his nose, on his snout, and basically pull the dog's head up away from the trigger, if you will, like the other dog. And in this context, it's a fake dog. So that's kind of setting the plan, the field for you guys. Medium-sized to large-sized dog. He's like a pit bull, Great Dane type mix. And he came out blazing. And so when I posted this on my story, I posted it because I was like, holy shoot, this dog is super reactive, like crazy. And she also was reacting to his reaction. You know, so she was kind of hitting, she was kind of matching him, to be honest. So she was telling him, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it, yanking his head up with the halt. It's all she knew how to do. It's all she had done. I can't really remember if somebody else told her to do this, But I do know that this was her MO. She's like, this is the only way I can physically go outside safely without getting dragged down. And this dog's yanking her. It is crazy. If you guys haven't seen it, again, you can check it out. But so when I posted this on my story, so many people, it was interesting because people thought that I was directing her to do this. And so that was interesting to me because there's always this, and I don't know, social media is weird because I would just assume, when I saw a couple of those comments from people, like DMs, it was like, people were kind of like acting like I had been instructing her to do this. And in my head, I'm like, people should know me by now. Like, I don't use halties, I don't use harnesses, and I certainly would never ask this person to do this type of work. And so I guess there's this naiveness in me that just assumes that anybody who watches my stuff knows me well. And that's my fault. That's kind of my issue. That's my issue, right? So I was like, oh man, people actually think, because people are like, this is abuse, dog can't breathe, what are you doing, all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, no shit, this is awful. But I was just like sharing how much this person was struggling. And so two things is, I assume people who are watching this like watches everything I do, which is like, to me, I have this community mentality in my head that we're all in this together, we're all helping dogs, everyone understands. When I post something, it's typically a before and after, right? Well, that's not true. Some people follow me. They don't even know any. Maybe they followed me because of, I don't know. You know, they saw me in People Magazine or on TV or a celebrity repost. I don't know why. You know, I can't assume that everyone who follows me either comes to my podcast, gets to know me really well, or they watch my full-length YouTube videos and they know me well. That's silly of me. That's naive of me. So there's that. So I was like, oh crap, I should probably clarify, you know, because the last thing I want, like there's this thing in my head that I'm like, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, so I clearly, after that, I posted like the after, which is the dog walking past another dog. And dog trainers, you're going to get a kick out of this, but the dog was walking past the other dog. And what we did throughout the process, I'm going to go over the process in a moment, like step by step, but one of the things after I posted is the owner was rewarding the dog. She was food luring in the beginning to kind of break down this barrier that had never been broken down before. This dog, I'll go over this step by step, but then I got people, it's crazy, like dog trainers, you're going to get a kick out of this. So the dog was, I mean, that's why I made this podcast. Literally, probably, it doesn't make sense, but likely the most reactive dog I've worked with in a very long time. And there's a Doberman that I worked with as I think was more reactive, but, and it was awful, chaos, stressful for her, for the dog, for anybody around. It was brutal, right? And then the next day she walks past another dog without a reaction for the first time since she's owned the dog, something that she thought she'd never be able to do. And we did it in 24 hours. And people were upset that we were using a reward lure to get by the other dog for the first round. And so dog trainers, this is just reaffirming and confirming, no matter how good of a job you do with a dog, somebody always is going to talk ish about how you did it, no matter what. So there's some things to unpack here, and I'm going to go over it. The first thing is, well, there's two things I want to tell you I'm going to talk about in this podcast. The first thing is I'm going to give you the step-by-step play on how I did this. The second thing is I'm going to, because it was a very interesting case. Second thing is I'm going to talk about how aversive the halty was for this dog. Because one of the things that a lot of dog trainers had pointed out when I posted this was they were almost using this as ammunition to people who say that they should use halties because they're less aversive than prong collars or remote collars or whatever. I never looked at it like that. And so I'll speak on that as well. And so, so the dog came in extremely reactive to the fake dog. And guys, if you don't know my fake dog stuff, and that's, I got to get better at that. I got to assume you guys don't even know anything about everything that I do. Because like I said, in my head, I almost feel like everyone kind of bounces around from my YouTube to my Instagram to my podcast. And it, maybe some of you do, but I don't know. Maybe you can let me know in the comments if you're listening to this on Spotify, if you're, a follower of all those things. But so came in super reactive and I kind of let it play out. I wanted to see where it would go. And I was so excited. One thing that you guys don't see in the video, because we cut it down, obviously, to like 10 minutes, and it was a two-day film session, is how excited I was to work with this dog. Very excited, because I love dogs like this. Absolutely love dogs like this. It gets me excited, gives me goosebumps. I was tickled to death, chuffed. So I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And mainly because I knew how bad the dog was, and I knew how much the owner was struggling, and I was excited because I was going to be able to help them to some degree. I knew. Because it was the worst of worst, right? It doesn't get worse than that. And so that was why I was really excited, because when you are out in front of that many people with lights and cameras and your dog's doing that, it's stressful. And I got to give Michelle a lot of credit for stepping up to the plate. That's the reason for all this success. And we are doing low-cost reactive dog training and, of course, booked, where you can book with me for sure, guaranteed reactive dog training. If you have a dog like this, we can help you. And we'll talk about that later as well. But so she came in. Super, super reactive. I let it play out. Dog was redirective, which made me a little nervous. She wasn't nervous. You see in the video, she's like, oh, he won't get me. He won't get my fingers. I'm like, okay. So for the first day, I really let it play out. I did handle the dog a little bit just to see what the dog was capable of. And the dog is really capable, really just a fast-tuned, high-drivey dog. And so the process was this, is I switched to a 3.0 chunky prong collar. I forget what they're called. Shorts, maybe? So they're like smaller. They're the same gauge, but the prongs are actually shorter. I switched to that for basic handling because this dog was extremely explosive, extremely powerful, and was used to dragging his owner around. That needed to stop immediately. That's something that you really shouldn't let any dog do, regardless of anything, really. That's something that you should really, not let happen. Even if your dog is friendly and excited to go see dogs, it's something that your relationship, and I've seen it so many times, will unravel your whole bit with your dog. So what I ended up doing is I started with the prong collar for basic handling, and I helped her with her handling. I helped her with her heel. I helped her with her impulse control. And the way that I did it was, as I got out food, because the dog was really food motivated, and I said, okay, you need to work around food in my hand, because the dog's going to explode towards the food in the hand, just like he will explode towards other dogs, you know, or fake dogs in this case, as they go, right? So it's important to understand that for me and what I do, I try to work on the foundation first. So if somebody comes in with a reactive dog, the first thing I look at is foundation, because there's a great chance that the lack thereof foundation caused the reactivity in the first place, which means the foundation would be your dog listening to you, your dog respecting you, your dog looking at you for guidance, your dog looking at you for direction, your dog looking at you as a leader, your dog looking at you for motivation. All of that comes down to your basic foundation, right? So that's what we did, is we got food out. We started working on the food. The dog lunged towards the food. We got those kinks out. We worked on the correction timing with the prong. The dog was very insensitive. And what I mean by that, and I even said it in the video, I'm like, you can haul off, a professional football player could haul off and kick this dog in the face and he wouldn't budge. Like, so I'm just giving an example. Like, this dog is like, you can't physically get to him, right? And I'm not saying you can't physically hurt him. What I'm saying is physically, his threshold for any type of physical pressure is non-existing. He doesn't care. A lot of people probably work with dogs like that, where you just put a leash on them, and they're just freight trains, right? So the prong collar was a good first like low-hanging fruit to start working on her basic foundation of handling, working on her corrections, and for the first time letting the dog know what they were doing is inappropriate, which she's never been able to do. And when I say that to dog owners, a lot of times they correct me and they say, well, I did tell them no, or I say, uh-uh, or I say, leave it. And I said, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm talking about here is actual enforcement, right? So you telling your dog no and no meaning something to your dog is two separate things entirely. If you're not enforcing your commands, just like if you're not reinforcing your commands or your cues, they're not powerful and they likely won't work. And what that means is, let's say you ask a dog to sit for the very first time and you're trying to teach them how to sit, and you got food in your pouch and they're hungry for the food and they're motivated to get that food. You tell them to sit, they say, no, I don't want to sit. I don't know sit. What is sit, right? But one time you say sit and they put their butt on the ground and you just look away. So you miss that opportunity to use positive reinforcement to mark that behavior, either with verbal, yes, good sit, or with actual payment of food, ball, toy, tug, frisbee, right? You're letting the dog know, bing, you got it. Ding, 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 you got it, right? Same thing with enforcement. It's just as powerful when we ask a dog to sit and they know the behavior and they say, no, I don't want to, or no, there's rabbit poop over here that's more interesting, and you don't enforce it. It's the same exact thing. They understand that they don't have to do the things that you want them to do when you ask them to do it, so on and so forth. So it starts this whole process of your relationship start to unfold, right? And sometimes it just looks like you guys, dog trainers, and all the people out there who have friends who have dogs, family members who have dogs, etc. You guys can likely relate to this. You know, it really, what it looks like most often is just an out of control dog that really nobody wants to be around. They're jumping on everybody. They're grabbing everything off the table, all the food. They bring them for walks. They're getting dragged. I mean, actually, to be completely fair, most people live their life like this because they don't know there's an alternative. They just think that this is how it is. I see so many people every day getting dragged around by their dogs. And again, it sucks to see because A, on the outside, it sucks to get dragged by your dog. That's a chore. You shouldn't have to do that. But on the very bigger level and on the inside is your relationship with your dog is not healthy. So that's a whole other conversation. So anyway, so we worked on those impulse controls. We worked on the dog paying attention to the owner. We did calibrations. We did tune-ups, which is essentially, hey, pay attention to me, going back and forth. But as soon as the dog came out, the fake dog, all that went out the window. So the prong collar didn't work. The leave it didn't work. So the dog knew fundamentally what the heel was, what the leave it was, what the sit was, but didn't care. A, that we said, hey, I want you to leave this fake dog. He's like, I don't give a crap. Boom, he went. He redirected. He grabbed. He thrashed. He growled. He did all those things. Just super chaotic, right? Super reactive. And then more importantly, he didn't care about the correction either. And so when we corrected him with the prong, didn't do anything. And I was even mindful that the prong could make and escalate the behavior of the dog even more, which I talk about a lot, right? So if you're using a prong collar or a physical correction with the dog, sometimes it can actually make things worse. Absolutely. You just have to know the dog that's in front of you, and you have to have experience working, with reactive dogs. That's part of the game, right? So I said, okay, we're going to move to the e-collar. Because here's the thing, guys. I want you to notice and note in your head. When I work with dogs, as in me, I only usually get 48 hours. Like, that's the most time I get to work with dogs. Is it realistic? For me, it is. Because I don't have a lot of I don't have, weeks and months because of my schedule, right? I just don't have that time. What I have time for is really crash course and we need to make changes and we need to make it. And a lot of that is because of my seminar career. Like, so there's other, I have friends and colleagues that do seminars and they don't really work with behavioral dogs. They bring in dogs that they want to, that kind of matches their lecture that day, right? So I don't, not everybody, I'm just saying some people do that, right? So when I seminar, it's completely.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Different. When I seminar, we give out 8 working spot tickets. Whoever gets them first is there. It could be this dog, or it could be an 8-week-old puppy, 9-week-old puppy, whatever, right? I have no control over that. Whoever books it comes and shows up, right? And so, just know that, we have to make change, and this is a serious, serious dog, right? They need help. They need it fast. Their life is spiraling. Their life is stressful. This isn't why don't we try these 10 things? Because in our head, we all know it's not going to work, right? I know it's not going to work because I've done it for 13 years every single day. I know what's going to work. Let's cut to the chase here. We need some sort of deactivator here. Once this dog sees red, and he sees red fast, we need to disrupt and deactivate this, all of this. Emotional response, physical response, everything needs to stop, and we need to figure out how we can think about it like this. In my head, the way that I think about it is, it's like a really fast moving spoke on a bicycle. Okay, that's the way I think about these things sometimes. Is all of a sudden, when this dog or other dogs I work with see another dog, that wheel just starts spinning. I need to take a wood broom handle and shove it in there and stop this, right? We need to stop this cycle. We need to stop this loop. So many dog owners and dogs get into this loop. We go out for a walk. We try the things the trainer said. It didn't work. We're in this loop. We have 2 seconds to fix it, blah, blah, blah. All right, so we need help. We need help fast. That's why we call the sessions at my facility transformation sessions, right? I have a 1-day, I have a 3-day, and that's why they're called that, because we this is like psychotherapy type stuff, right? Where you can work with a therapist and work for years and kind of talk about different things and get to know each other and kind of keep it, or you can go in and get right into what's causing you to have PTSD, or what's causing you to lose sleep, or what's causing you to have these really bad thoughts, right? Sometimes you just got to go in there and rip the Band-Aid off. And that's a lot of times my job with these dogs, especially this dog, because he's a very stable dog outside of this. So he's not neurotic. He's not insecure. He's not fearful, really. He is, he's outside of another dog in place. This dog is pretty balanced. Pretty chill, to be honest, like neutral, really. Thinks clearly, isn't whining and pacing when I leave with the dog. Like, he just sees a dog and he goes, I gotta go, right? So that wheel starts spinning. So we need to disrupt this. We need to deactivate this. So I switched to the e-collar. For those of you who don't know, the e-collar is a remote collar, and it has stimulation. Stimulation is like a TENS unit that chiropractors use. I used it last week, and I'm using it tomorrow. It's the best thing on earth. If you have issues with your muscles, especially in your lower back when you get into your 30s, and it's a sensation. It can go from I can't feel it at all to holy crap, this sucks, right? There's a huge spectrum there. And there's also a vibration setting on this. And the vibration is exactly how it sounds like. So it's a vibration, right? It's an intense vibrate. So put the e-collar on. As soon as the dog hit the end of the leash, I use the vibration to disrupt it. Now, once a dog hits the end of the leash, they're at red zone. This dog in particular, anyway, he's at red zone. That's it, right? It's pretty much, it's a wrap after that. He can't really talk him off the ledge once he commits to that. And so I use the pager. I try to use the pager before the dog fully gets into red zone. Then what I like to do after that is help the dog make a better decision because the dog is actually food motivated. So he'll red zone, but right before he red zones or when he looks, right? And then as soon as the dog maybe shuffles that off or maybe looks around and says like, hey, what the hell was that? I'll try to pay the dog for a good reaction, right? So I'll get food and say, yes, and I'll use my marker and I'll reward the dog, right? So that's great if you can do that, right? Not many opportunities with this particular dog that you can do that, unfortunately, because he just hits the end of the leash so fast and fights. So I used the vibrate. I knew it wasn't that sustainable by the third time I used it because he shrugged it off once he hit the end of the leash. So, okay. Gave him a break, brought him back out. Second day, he came in. I used the stimulation. So right now, again, I'm thinking about that wood handle. Think about that moving wheel, spokes on fire. This thing is just spinning as fast. Think about this, guys. When you're a kid or even now, take your bike, flip it up on a seat, and pedal that thing just in motion, and that thing is just ripping, right? Ripping, right? That's this dog. It's his mind, right? He's seeing 10. He's going. So I needed something to disrupt this. And what I did was, is I used the e-collar stimulation and I started to go up, right? A corrective level for a dog or an uncomfortable averse level for a dog is typically around 10 to 15. We condition, we communicate, which is non-aversive, non-corrective, non-punitive, between 2 to 5 or 6, right? So the dog does not feel any correction from it. They just feel it, and then you use your markers to condition the dog with it. It's advanced e-collar training using modern technology. So then what you do is you start to, that's what I did with this dog, is I brought him back out. Right. And then what I did is as soon as he reacted, as soon as he started to load, showed signs of I'm about to freak out, I started climbing up. So around the stimulation 8, which guys, 8, you might be able to feel on your face. If you put the e-collar on your wrist, you wouldn't be able to feel. So 8's relatively low on the spectrum. But every dog is different as well. I did 8 and he goes, hey, what the hell was that? You can see it in the video. And if not, we're putting it in the Tom Davis Online Academy, which posts the full lengths of these videos, which is important for a dog like this because this is gold. That's why guys, how many times have I talked about a case that I had on here? I mean, very rarely. I'm telling you this because it's gold. I told all my trainers who were at the seminar, drop everything you're doing, come out and watch this because you won't see it again, likely. It's very important. And even for me, it's like, I love these dogs. I'm that's why we're doing this low-cost reactive thing. I'm literally cutting our costs down by like 80% so I can get dogs like this, so I can work through them. Anyway, so, and if you have a dog like this and you can't afford actual training with me to get on my normal schedule, you can email, I'll give an email in the description below. If you want to bring, I'm literally casting dogs like this. And if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen that. I'm looking for the worst of the worst so I can work through these things and help people out and create content like this. Because it's just that's how I built my whole community, right? My whole life has been about this. So I want more dogs like this. And to be frank, we very rarely get these dogs anymore. I don't know why, but so I used the e-collar stimulation. As soon as I saw him go, hey, what the hell is this? I was like, yep, that's it. We're in. He cared about something for the first time. When he saw red, prong collar didn't care. Obviously, you guys see the owner pulling, yarning the dog's head up in the air. I don't know. There's so much to kind of unpack there, but she did everything right, and the dog didn't care. You got to be able to stick something in those. So before, think about this. Those spokes, those wheels are turning. You stick a hot dog in there. You stick a Twinkie in there. It's gone, and just keep spinning. Right? You can't disrupt it. You can't stop the thing once it goes forward. Right? It's like trying to push a truck uphill by yourself. No. Okay, so I used the e-collar and it disrupted his pattern. It disrupted what he was doing. He said, what the hell was that? So that's what I did, is I used the e-collar to start to go up. 8, 9, what the hell? So here's the key. He turned around to go, hey, what was that? As soon as he turned around, yes, bang, and I paid him. Sorry if that peaked in your ears if you're listening to this in headphones. I said, yes, bang, and I paid him. Yes, bang, paid him. Mark. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. So the goal here, guys, is basic dog training. Do more of this. You get this. Do less of this. This happens. AKA operant conditioning, right? Hey, nope. I do this every day with my two kids, and I will for the rest of my life. You know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. We're at breakfast. My son decides, my three-year-old anyway, he knows better. He decides to flip his yogurt cup and scream at the top of his lungs because his brother's getting attention. Negative punishment. Taking him out, putting him in his room. This is what happens the moment you act like this. Okay? So we're teaching him. At that very moment, you act like this, you're gone. You're punished. He's crying. I don't like this. Yeah, good. This is good. You don't like this. I'm dreading the point, parents, hear me out. I'm dreading the point where I say, time out. And he goes, fine. I like time out. I'm dreading that. Because then you start to run out of options and you have to get super creative, right? But right now, that's what we do. It's the same thing, right? Okay. And so I use the stimulation to disrupt the dog's behavior. And that was it, right? Like he goes, whoa, what was that? And I paid him. I said, okay, guys, here it is. Here's the whole like scenario. This is going to start coming together. I broke him out. I got him closer. He started to react. I corrected him. So over time, the reaction got less. And you can watch in the video, I got really close to the fake dog, like 5 to 6 feet away. And for reference for people who didn't watch the video, if you're just listening to this, he just looked at the fake dog from 30 feet away and he lost his crap. Freaked level 10, screaming, freight train, redirecting, grabbing, thrashing, like crazy reactivity. Something out of a textbook, right? And so that's what I started to do. And as I got closer to the other dog, when he would start to build, right? So once he started to react, the e-collar threw that broomstick right into the spokes and it stopped it dead in its tracks. I said, don't do it. Boom. And then I paid him. And then what happens with dogs like this is, especially for him, because he actually didn't have a problem with the other dog. And that's intel that the owner gave me, and you can watch in the video. She says, actually, when he gets to the other dog, as long as the dog's behind him, he's fine. But for some reason, when he's facing the dog, so these are all very, very, very like environmental or scenario-based reactivities, right? So as you're doing this, you have to like really audit and figure out what type of reactivity you're getting, right? Like these are all the things that matter. And you have to be aware of these things, right? And as you work, and this is why, guys, you've watched my channel so many times, like, hey, you know, these other trainers didn't have, it's like, you know, guys, these other trainers like I'm not going to say they're bad or they don't know what they're doing. It's just, it takes experience. It's like bringing your, you know, it's like bringing your entire, you know, car to a mechanic that's only been working on that particular thing, that particular car for maybe, 6 months. So yeah, I've done that before. I can do it, you know. But listen, it's different than that, right? Like you have to know that the person you're working with has done that. They can put together your car while they're sleeping at night at 3 a.m. if you just wake them up and put a gun to their head. They've done it so many times, right? And those are the types of, that's the difference. So people ask me all the time, like, oh, what makes you different? Or what does this? Or what does that? Or, you know, whatever. You gotta just know that there's people who have different experiences. And listen, I've worked with trainers for over 30 years that won't touch dogs like this because it's super uncomfortable for them, right? And so just know that there's a lot of diversity into that. So because the question I get all the time is, especially from other trainers, is you really gotta, I'm super, this is what I do. I mean, I get goosebumps when a dog looks like this. Most people wanna run away. I don't know what, and that's something that I've just had my whole life. This is why I do what I do. It's why I got into this, right? So anyway, really bad tangent there, but hey, that's what podcasts are for. So I use the remote collar to start to deactivate this, right? I use the Dogtra Tom Davis 2.0, link in the description if you guys are interested. And it's a great tool for off-leash work as well. It's not just a punitive tool. This introduction to this remote collar for this particular dog is called intervention. I only do this if it's dangerous to the dog or other people. And in this case, it clearly was. So then we go out for the second session outside. And guys, there was a round of applause. People were standing ovation. Like, it was amazing what she did. Granted, people were standing anyway, but you get what I'm saying. She got the dog out. We had the e-collar. And he understood the game, right? So we started getting close to another moving dog. Another moving dog was moving around. Shout out Monica and Blue. Dog was moving around, and she lured the dog the first. So the first line of defense is pass the dog, get paid. Where before she couldn't look at the... Guys, I'm talking red zone level 10, the most reactive dog you've ever seen in your entire life with a fake dog. With a fake dog, right? We're outside with a moving dog on the other side of a fence 20 feet away, and she food lures, which means she has food in her hand. The dog is luring with food, chasing the food, and for the very first time, the dog didn't react. We paid the dog. Shout out to the person on Instagram who had a problem with that. God, people suck. Anyway, so then we came back. I said, okay, we're going to remove the food. So she removed the food. She still had it on her. So, of course, we're always going to pay the dog if they do well, right? So now we have this very, very, very binary. If you react and you freak out and you rip your leash and you cause havoc and you cause chaos for yourself and everyone around you, the e-collar turns on. If you don't, all the good things happen, dude, right? So we, I mean, to me, that's just life. Like, that's life. Like, I don't, there's people who try to live outside of that bubble, and I call it the fairyland world. Must be nice. That's all I got to say. She comes out. She takes her food out. She puts her arm, or she takes her, she doesn't have her food out, right? So it's not contacted. So the dog just is just free shaped out there. Do whatever you want, dude. The other dog is moving past. The other dog is on the other side of the fence, walking back and forth. And she pays the dog after the fact, and he didn't react. And we put the dog up, and it was awesome. And it was awesome for this reason. She was, for the first time ever, this dog walked past another dog without a reaction. But more, way more than that. Within 24 hours, we got this dog from one of the more reactive dogs I've ever seen in my entire life to neutral around another dog within 24 hours, which tells me as a trainer, this dog can absolutely knock down any wall, any goal, any accomplishment you want to achieve with this dog, you can accomplish 100,000%. Because we were able to make that much change that quick. So as a dog trainer, I get super excited because on exteriorly, you might, I don't know if this is real, but you might just assume like, oh, Tom thinks this dog's fully trained and the dog's never going to react again. Hell no. And I guess I play devil's advocate with myself to just try to explain it. Because I think that that's what makes maybe a good teacher too, is just making sure that we're covering all objective basis here. It's like, no, what I'm excited about is we went from that to this quickly, which means you can 1,000 bazillion percent on my life get to a place where you can walk past several dogs every day with minimal to no reactivity within a week if we can do that in 24 hours, which is incredible. That's all these guys wanted. That's what it's all most people wanted. So I just wanted to just explain this podcast to you guys and explain this session with you guys and let you know the breakthrough and how we were able to do it. It was really simple. It's just, you know, there was a lot of experience that went in the timing in which I did it, in the way in which I did it. And I am very, very, very excited that these guys were as successful as they were. And I'm so excited that we were able to document the whole process. Again, link in description if you guys want to check it out. Very, very, very excited. I hope that you guys have the opportunity to check it out. And again, if you guys have a dog, we're doing low-cost leash reactive dogs, and they got to be super reactive. The email is in the description of the show notes here. And again, you guys can work with me anytime. You can book a session with me. We can go online anywhere in the world. You can come and work with me in my one-day transformation, in my three-day transformation. You can also come shadow and watch me consult to finish just like this. We're doing that December, and we're doing it all next year because I'm not traveling. I'm going to be at the facility training every month. So I'm so excited for that. So hopefully this was helpful. If you guys want more breakdowns like this, let me know in the comments. I just wanted to kind of get this off my chest and really just applaud Michelle and her dog Remy for breaking through. And Michelle, if there's a chance that you ever listen to this, please know that you can continue to go on to do anything that you want with your dog, considering how fastly you guys progressed within that short period of time. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm going to be in Australia in a couple weeks. Actually, I'm leaving this weekend. Can't wait to see you guys over there. There's a couple working spot tickets available. If anybody's interested to come hang out with me and bring their dog, hopefully it's dogs like this. And we'll talk to you guys in the next podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Wayfair's big sale is here. It's Way Day, and it's on now. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. Now through October 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So build your cart and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.